James 3 today, James chapter number 3. I've been going through James with the teenagers, so I did this one last week, and I was like, wow, that's pretty good. So I was like, I'm going to preach on that next week. And James chapter 3 really focuses on the tongue. Okay, so not really like the tongue as in the muscle. Okay, obviously we know that's not what he's talking about here, because it's just a flabby piece of muscle in your mouth. Kind of weird when you think about it, because you can control what you say. I don't know, it's just weird. But we're going to be looking at the thing behind the tongue, okay? So every man has to fight with his tongue, right? Every person has a problem with what he says and what he is thinking. But it's what is behind the tongue, and that's the heart. Okay, I need to read it first. So we're going to start in verse number 1. We'll just read down to probably verse number 12. It says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, that same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of bird, and of serpent, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poisons. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh." Let's pray. Dear Lord, just thank you so much that you've given me the opportunity to just bring forth what you gave me this last week. I pray that I would do it well, that I wouldn't just go against what your word teaches. Just please give me the word to say. Just please pray that it would convict the hearts of the people here. And just thank you so much for working in my heart this week. And pray that we'd have a good rest of the day. In Jesus' name, amen. So like I said, I want to focus on the heart, okay? Because what we say, okay, usually comes out, or usually is in our heart, okay? So in verse number 2, the Bible says that if a man can learn to control the tongue, that same man is a perfect man. Now, is any man perfect? No man is perfect. Who is the only perfect one? Jesus. Jesus is the only perfect man. Nope. Oh, nice try. But we may feel like we have a handle on our tongue, but each person can look back on his life, okay, and they can think. You ever lay in bed, and you're like, why did I say that? Why did those words come out of my mouth? Okay, even today, you're probably like, I probably said something that I shouldn't have. Okay, probably not. Okay, but we each have a problem with our tongue, and we regret the things that we say. Verse number 7 and 8 says that for every kind beast and of birds of serpents, and the sea is tamed. So that's saying that men have tamed a lot of things. Okay, horses, birds, serpents, it says. Okay, if we can ride it or use it, we can probably tame it. Okay, but for some odd reason, we can't tame our tongue. Okay, it says it is an unruly evil, full of deadly poisons. So what makes us say these things? And how can we learn to bridle the tongue? So my first point is the heart of the matter. Wordplay. See what I did there? Heart of the matter. A tongue is a reflection of the heart. Matthew 15:8 says, "But those things which proceedeth out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defileth the man." So whatever is on your heart, like I said earlier, is most likely going to come out of your mouth. Okay? If you have bitterness in your heart or anything, okay, if you're thinking it, it's probably going to come out of your mouth, unless you have a really good hold on it. Okay? Like, I'm just always funny, so funniness comes out of my mouth. Right?
Looks aren't everything.
No, yeah. I try. But some of us have gotten pretty good at holding things back, but your sins will always find you out, even the sins of the heart. The Bible says no man can can tame the tongue, but that does not mean that we shouldn't strive to do better. Okay, I love that whenever people sin over and over again, they're like, well, what did they say? I'm only human, right? Well, yeah, but does that mean that we shouldn't strive? And the Bible says that we can't reach sinless perfection. Okay, so does that mean we should just stop trying to do good? No, I've never understood people that are just like, well, if you can't, be perfect, might as well not even try. Okay, so we shouldn't just not try to tame our tongue. We need to switch our focus from simply trying to bite our tongue to dealing with the issue that causes us to say wicked things. Okay, now what causes us to lose control of our tongue? Number one, we can't control our tongue because of our lack of wisdom. Now this one's kind of a weirder one for me. Whenever I was reading over stuff, I was like, okay, this one's pretty good. But we can't control our tongue because of our lack of wisdom. Proverbs 15:2 says, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. How many times have you been in a conversation with somebody and you're talking to them, and maybe this person just got in a fight or an argument with somebody else? Okay, now right away, you just want to side with the person that you like the most. Okay, that's just how it goes, isn't it? Okay, if my wife came to me and she said, who can I pick on? Bethany, okay, said this really mean thing. I'm just like, all right, I'm with Joelle, no matter what. Okay, because she's my wife. Yeah, good job, right? Yeah, good job. But I'm just automatically going to side with my wife, okay? And I'm going to talk to her about it. But I don't know the full story, do I? I don't know everything that went into it. I'm only getting one side of the story, aren't I? The right side, my wife's side. But no, I don't know the full story. Now, what should I do? Okay, I should go over to Bethany and be like, hey, what happened, Bethany? No, you weren't right. Okay? But whenever we don't know the full story, we don't have the wisdom to help. Okay? Instead, we know half the story and we're like, I can help you. I know what to do. No, you don't, because you don't know the whole story. You end up giving bad advice that usually just you put in a match, okay? Just and it just blows up right in front of your face, okay? So we just say things just to make that person feel better, okay? And it ends up usually hurting more. We shouldn't be so quick to speak or to be heard when we lack the wisdom needed. Right. Many times, our true sense about the matter is more of a hindrance than a help. If we haven't gone through the situation or haven't studied the matter out beforehand, it is best for us just to keep our mouth shut. But I had something else I want to say. Anyways, number two, we can't control our tongue because we have jealousy in our heart. Now, this is a big one for me. Okay, I don't know if you know this, but I'm a very jealous person. Okay, I hide it pretty well, right? Yes. Okay, James 3:14 says, but if you have bitter envies and strifes in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. Proverbs 14:30 says, a sound heart is the life of flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. So our hearts are just naturally filled with jealousy. Whenever we see somebody that we don't necessarily like doing better than us, we just are always jealous. Okay, I always bring up me and Garrett whenever we were younger. I did not like Garrett when I was younger. Okay, I don't know. He was my age. He was usually better at me than most things. I just did not want to see Garrett succeed in sports or anything. That's why I got married before Garrett. No, I'm just joking. But it's true. We just have a jealousy problem, don't we? It says, envy the rottenness of the bones. When someone has something that we feel like we deserve, okay? Like, usually, whenever we think of jealousy, we think of things, right? We think of, oh, they have a better car than me. They have a better job than me. Okay, but most of the time, it's because that person is getting more attention, isn't it? Okay, that's what I have a problem with. Okay, I like attention. Okay? I like attention. Okay, whenever somebody else is getting attention, I'm like, why am I not getting attention? If I do one small thing, I want somebody to recognize it. Okay, I want somebody to praise me for this one small thing that I did. And whenever they don't, I'm just like, well, nobody loves me. Okay? That's just my sin nature. 9 times out of 10, we are more jealous of attention and praise more than anything. Our heart can't see someone else receive praise. Now, a lot of times we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to, don't we? Yeah, and we think that we deserve more attention. Now, a lot of times, now this is really aimed at me, we turn to gossip in an attempt to make the person we are envious of look bad, don't we? Okay, ooh. That one hurt me whenever I was writing this down. Because whenever we're with somebody, we just end up talking about somebody else. Why do we do this? The Bible has like 100 verses on you should like lift people up instead of tearing them down. Okay, so why do we do this? Because we're jealous. Because we're envious of what that person has. So in an attempt to make ourselves look better, we tear the other person down. And we talk about them. We say bad things about them to make them look bad. Ephesians 4:29 says, Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Psalms 34:13 says, Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Now again, this is hard. I struggle with this. Okay? I struggle with this a lot. And Pastor always says, a lot of people say, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it at all, right? We've been taught that forever, and yet we still do the opposite of that. The Bible says that our tongues should be used to edify or to lift up others. And what I was saying about Pastor was, he said, if you have a problem with somebody, or if you have strife with somebody, you should pray for them. Okay, you should pray that God would help them, that God would help you to get along with them. Okay, but what is our first instinct? Our first instinct is to go behind their back and to talk bad about them. And if we just instead would praise, not praise them, but would lift them up, would talk about them in the right way instead of talking about them in the wrong way, our mind might change towards them. Because whenever somebody brings up, okay, we all have a person that whenever somebody brings up something about them, you're just like, I don't agree because I don't like them. Right? You're just automatically turned off because you're like, nope, I disagree with anything good that you have to say about that person. Anything bad you say about that person, I'll jump right on the bandwagon and I'll start talking bad about them with you. But instead, if somebody started talking bad about that person, you say, well, you know, they did a lot of good, you know, then the other person's like, wait a second, you like them? You know? And it will change the whole conversation around. But instead, no, we just jump right on the bandwagon and like, yep, I don't like them either. And that just causes more strife and more jealousy, really. Then we just get even more jealous and upset at them. Nowhere in the Bible does it give us an excuse to speak evil of someone else, no matter how bad we think of them. I looked it up, trust me. It's not in there. Okay? We should use our tongue to edify other people, not to tear them down. Number three. We can't control our tongue because of bitterness in our heart. Proverbs 16:27 says, An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is a burning fire. Now, diggeth up. Okay, whenever I think of diggeth up, I'm thinking about, you know, in the past. People digging up stuff in the past, okay? Romans 3:13-14 says, Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. Whose mouth is full of cursings and bitterness. So if you find yourself constantly bringing up stuff in the past, do you think you've actually forgiven that person? If you keep bringing things up that have happened 5 or 6 years ago, you keep talking bad about that person, have you really forgiven them? No. Whenever you say, who's heard the thing I've forgiven but I haven't forgotten? Okay, everybody's heard that, probably have said it, but that's probably not true, because if you haven't forgotten, then you can't really forgive, can you? It usually means that they haven't forgiven either. Whenever Christ forgave us of our sins, okay, he forgot. What does the Bible say? The Bible says, as far east is from the west. East is from the west. There we go. Okay, that means he's not going to see it. Yeah, east, west. Yeah, thank you. Okay, that means he's never going to bring it up again. Whenever I stand before him, okay, and he looks at me, all he's going to see is what? He's going to see Jesus' blood, isn't he? He's not going to bring up all the bad things I did, all the sin I've committed. He forgot. So why should we, a person who sins, keep bringing up stuff that other people have done and holding them accountable for that? That's not our job to do that. That's Jesus, that's God's job to do that. Our job is to forgive them and to love them even though they fell into sin. I'm reminded of the story of the prodigal son. Whenever he came back to his father, I preached a message on that. He came back to his father, and his father ran to embrace him and to forgive him. But what did his brother do? His brother was like, you know, why didn't you do these things for me? You know, I've been your faithful servant forever. And he couldn't forgive his brother. I think we're a lot more like that bad brother than we think. Not the bad brother. The brother who wouldn't forgive than we think. Because we're not willing to forgive and forget. James 3:6 says that the tongue setteth on fire the course of nature. Now, nature, I believe, is our life, okay? That's how I interpreted that. God designed nature as a plan for mankind. Just like Adam and Eve ruined nature with their sin, our tongue sets on fire the course of nature. One ill-spoken word can ruin our life and the lives of others. We must learn to forgive and to forget. Number four, we can't control our tongue because of our pride. We can't control our tongue because of our pride. Proverbs 14:3 says, "In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them." Psalm 73:6 says, "Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covers them as a garment." Pride is like a chain that is holding you down. Okay, no matter how much you work at keeping your tongue, your pride is still going to show through, isn't it? It's all inside of us. What's the very first sin that was ever committed? Pride, okay, and who committed it? Lucifer, right? He wanted to be as great as God. And he ended up falling and becoming Satan. That's the very first sin. That is what is inside of each one of us. Even Jackson. My Jackson is just a little prideful little dude. Okay? He wants everything for himself. Okay? Yeah, right now. If you don't get it, he's crying right now. Okay? But I always tease him. I'm going to whoop you, kid. But no. It doesn't affect him because he doesn't know what I'm saying. But our pride covereth us like a garment. In other words, we aren't fooling anybody with what we say. Okay? We're not fooling anybody whenever we are, you know, prideful. You can just tell somebody is prideful whenever you meet them for like the first 5 minutes. Like, this dude's a really prideful dude. Because he's talking about himself, right? And all of us just want to talk about ourselves. That's all we want to talk about is me, me, me. Kind of just like the jealousy thing. Okay? If we don't get noticed for every small thing that we do, we're upset. We're full of pride. We're a prideful people. Instead, I don't think we should be talking about, well, of course, this is an obvious one. We shouldn't be talking about ourselves. Who should we be talking about? Jesus. Whenever we do something good, and this is something that I've caught on recently, and I don't say it enough, is whenever something good happens, we used to say, praise God. Or we used to say, you know, I guess it's praise God, but now we're just like, oh, thank you. You know, like, we did something. You know, I don't know why we don't get back to saying praise God or to God be the glory or anything like that, because it just sounds kind of corny, doesn't it? You're like, oh, praise God. And you're like, oh, that person's really spiritual. Well, no, they're actually giving praise to the one who did it. And I thought because I don't say that enough, whenever somebody says, oh, thank you so much for, you know, singing the song, I'm just like, oh, thank you. And I take all the glory for it. But instead, I should be giving the glory to God. People don't really thank me for singing a whole lot. You guys can work on that a little bit. But Proverbs 11:2 says, "When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom." And also, I talked about this verse in Sunday school, and we always get it wrong, is pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. A lot of people switch those. Pride goes before a fall. It's like, no, you're going to get destroyed if you have pride. In the moment, we've all said things about ourselves that we have regretted. We are so thirsty to be seen that we usually sprout out something really dumb. Although in the moment, we think we look really good, don't we? Whenever we say those things, you're like, yeah. You know, it's like carrying the 5 chairs to impress a girl. You ever do that? You think you've never done that? Is that just me? That's what I did with Joelle. Joelle was coming, I was like, give me all the chairs. I was like, wow, I look really stupid. It worked, though. Anyways. Impasta. Although in the moment we thought our pride would make us look good, pride always bringeth shame. So then I asked, how can we tame our tongue? That's the big question here. How can we tame our tongue? Number one, we need to be walking in the Spirit. Turn with me to Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Galatians 5:16, it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Now jump down to verse number 22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Okay, we see here that if we're walking in the Spirit, then all of our natural tendencies, they seem to lessen greatly. Ephesians 5:19 says, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart." Okay, that's another walking in the Spirit. But just because we have these things doesn't mean that our natural desires are going to disappear, does it? No, our sin will always be trying to creep back into our lives. However, if we are constantly doing our best to walk in the Spirit, He will guide what we say and do. Okay, now we need to be getting closer to God. We need to be drawing nigh. What's that verse? Draw nigh to God. We just read it. James 3, or James 4, I believe. "Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Resist the devil and he will flee from you." Okay, the further we are from God, the more argument. Have you ever noticed this? The further we are from God, you know, usually the more upset you are, more prideful you are. Okay, but the closer you get to God, the more you're just like, you know what, that stuff doesn't matter anymore. You push all that to the side because you're like, if I didn't recognize for what I did, then it doesn't matter because I was just going to give all the glory to God anyways. So why should I be upset about that? Whenever you start talking, somebody comes and starts talking about somebody and starts gossiping, you're just like, no. You know, I don't want to talk about that because the Bible says that that's wrong. The Bible says I shouldn't be tearing people down. I should be lifting them up. And I just feel like whenever we get into a spot where we're prideful and we just talk about others and we stir up stripes, that's the point where we're far from God. We're the furthest from God. Because whenever we're close to God, we don't want to fight with others. We want to be close to others. Each person struggles with holding their tongue. But Christians represent Christ through their speech. What we say could influence someone to come to Christ or push them even further from Christ. And all that because we have pride, jealousy, and envyings in our heart. We can't let our tongue be the reason that we push somebody away from Christ. Okay? Like I just said, we represent Christ. And I think we don't really think about what that means. We represent God. Okay, we're set here on earth to bring others to Christ, right? To fellowship with God. Okay? But whenever we lose sight of that, what we are put here to do, and we end up pushing people away. and they end up not coming to know Christ. Don't let the tongue be the reason someone doesn't get saved or the reason a fellow brother stumbles. So this is just what I had prepared for you guys today, but it just really got me because, I don't know, I talk about every single one of you behind your back. No, but it is a problem that a lot of us have and we don't even think about it. You know, you talk about somebody in passing, you're like, oh, okay, you know, what's done is done. But no, God says that's bad. That's something that I was reading and I was just like, man, I haven't been doing things right. I need to draw closer to God. I need to put those things behind me. I need to put God front. I ask you to stand to your feet, if you will.